Okay, I want to call the final and business meeting session to order, the spring 2006 convention of the California Council of Lyme. And first is Gussie Morgan. Are you in the room? Can we have an invocation from you, Gussie, to get us all started here today?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Shall we bow our heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for a new day that we have never seen before. We thank you for the beautiful convention that we have been in the program. We thank you for each and every one that was able to come. Now we're asking that you would touch them for the rest of the meetings, that you would be with us, and Lord, that you would help everyone that's not feeling well this morning. We pray that you would touch those that's going back on the planes, that we all will have a safe plane, whether on a trip or either on the cars. However, they're going back, that they would have a safe trip home. We ask for your divine protection and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, Kathy.
Last night, someone handed some money in from Gussie at the end of the banquet that they contributed, and that was not announced. I wonder if we could hear about that now.
I don't see why not. Gussie, you have that information, or Peter has it, okay?
You're stealing my thunder, Kathy. I was going to make the announcement. I'd like to thank the Compton chapter for making a contribution in the amount of $200 for the general fund.
All right, let's hear it for Compton. Outstanding. Okay, I first, before any time slips away from us, because it always does, I want to, and I know I'm going to forget some people, but I'm going to try to remember as many as I can. I'll have to thank Ed later. Ed's been sent out to the airport to pick up some folks who are stranded for a day. And so, those things happen. And so I'll thank him later. I want to thank the folks at the registration desk, Marilyn and Peter and Eric. Oh, boy, Eric stepped into the breach. And my favorite, Liz Klein, out there, who is everywhere and anywhere. They all just did such a wonderful job. I want to thank, I don't know if they're within hearing of my voice, but my old buddy Sarah and all the telephone pioneers for the great job they did and sort of, leading the, sort of organizing the volunteers and doing so many little things, making lunches and things like that. Of course, I want to thank Gene for, coordinating this. Gene Lozano for coordinating this, for getting so many volunteers here. We had 100 of them yesterday alone, and there were many, many on Friday. Gene, this is just great. We've seen some of the time what Southern California has done, and we figured we needed to be able to rival it, and I think we did this time. So yes, we're doing better. So, and there's so many other people that did a lot. Kathy Braille tickets, as usual, and boy, does that make things go better. And so let's hear it for her. Abby and Peter both for the way they ran the exhibit room. Didn't you like the exhibit room? Boy, what was great this time to me is it seems like frequently when I pop into exhibits, there's either a full exhibit room or sometimes there's not a full convention session. This time, we seem to have both. I mean, it was just our registration was 246, which is about average for this convention, but I really feel strongly that we had more people in attendance at this convention than we have had at most Sacramento conventions, because it just seemed like both rooms were full. And so I think that we are getting the word out there. I think that a lot of the volunteers were very impressed with our group. I asked every volunteer, you know, how are you perceiving our folks? Are they treating you well? And to the person, they all said, this has been such a wonderful experience, such a friendly group. And that's exactly the image that we're trying to portray. So thank all of you for being what you were and being ambassadors for the Blind and Vision Impaired of California. So, okay. And for those who I should have thanked but didn't, well, I apologize. Okay. We're going to not, we'll delay till the next convention business meeting session our minutes because Rhonda King, as we said yesterday, was called away due to her father's illness. And so we'll have her read those at the next business meeting. So we will now go on to the treasurer's report. And Peter Pardini, take it away.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm not going to I'm going to give an abbreviated treasurer's report this morning. For the period January 1st to March 31st, 2006, we had total revenue in the amount of $121,375. Expenses for the period, $103,523. Revenue less expenses, $17,852. Other revenue in the amount of $16,994. Other expenses, $60. Total for all revenue less expense, all revenue less expenses, a positive $34,786. And just as informational, the council has total assets in the amount of $1,635,609. This concludes my treasurer's report. Thank you.
Okay, is there discussion? Any questions of the treasurer?
I'm not understanding what you mean by other income. Can you
basically other is it our investment income?
In other words, that's interest on our investments only?
Interest and capital gains on our investments.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion to accept the treasurer's report? It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much, Peter, as usual. All right. We now turn to our very esteemed Constitutional and Bylaws Chair for his report, Roger Peterson. All right.
The Constitution and Bylaws Committee met, some of us, Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and present were myself, Audrey Hebner, Al Beigler, and Mary Beth Randall.
That's four. That's better.
Yeah. There was one proposed amendment. It's a bylaws amendment. That's why we didn't have to read it yesterday. And it was proposed, I understand, by the Finance and Budget Committee, and it was submitted by Kathy Skivers. Section 3.1 of the bylaws now reads, Section 3.1, Article 3 of the bylaws is dues. Section 3.1 says, the annual dues to the council from each affiliated chapter shall be $3 multiplied by the number of members declaring that chapter their home chapter, except those members who are life members of the California Council of the Blind. The proposal is to change the word three to the word five. In other words, changing the annual dues per capita from the chapters to the CCB from $3 a year to $5 a year.
Okay, Roger, just for technical purposes, I'm presuming that this would operate prospectively starting next year.
That's right.
Okay.
So that proposal is submitted. The committee moves its adoption.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there discussion?
On the dues, is $5 for all chapters or just for affiliate chapters? That was what I was wondering, and maybe I just didn't quite hear it. So I apologize if I didn't.
Yeah, wait, let's get our terminology straight. There are chapters, and then there are statewide affiliates. And the statewide affiliates' dues are not per capita. They're just $50. This is for chapters. Is that clear? The local chapters of the organization.
Okay. Do we have any other discussion?
Yes. Frank Welke.
Frank?
I'm speaking in opposition to this amendment because I understand the reasoning behind it. I think that since the ACB dues were raised to $5, CCB is subsidizing dues for all members that it sends in. However, because CCB exceeds the maximum number of members for which dues are required to be paid by ACB by far, I don't think that there is going to be any significant difference in the bill that in other words, in the amount to which CCB is subsidizing the ACB dues, because we're already so far over in the dues we're taking in. Second, I think that for very small chapters, this is a hindrance, because in the case of very small chapters that are struggling, they may not have the wherewithal to do much fundraising, so that when you take them down from, say, if you take a typical chapter that asks $10 dues from its members, you take down their net receipt from $7 to $5, and that, for those tiny chapters, that can make a difference. I'm not talking about the big ones. And the fact of the matter is that dues should not be a major source of an organization's budget. They're an ante in a poker game, not the whole pot. And so I think we should keep the ante at $3 and look to other means of building up the pot.
Okay, wait. Okay, is that Connie?
Kathy.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't just because the dues went up to ACB, but that's one factor. But you know, you figure out $3 a year, and that's 25 cents a month. I don't know of anything you can belong to or do for 25 cents a month. You can't even get a cup of coffee mostly for 25 cents. We offer a tremendous amount in this organization, and true, we can't make the money to pay all of our expenses. But when you stop to think that the cost of the large print and braille and the other formats we do, for large print and braille, we spend about $25 a year per copy for publications that we get. There's our phone service. There's all the other services we provide. The smaller chapters, this is $2 a difference in what we do now and what we do then. If they're a small chapter, if they're 10 members only, we're talking about $20. I can't see where this would be a hardship. If it is, always chapters could come to this organization if they're having a hardship and let us know. I really think that it's time that we took a little more and paid our $5, and that's what we discussed in the budget. It was my suggestion. We had a group. We all thought it was a good idea. So I hope that you're going to vote for this.
Okay, next, is it Bernice that I heard? I'm not sure.
Frank, I would like to address a question to Frank. Do we know how many members were certified when you take out the special interest affiliates? Because when I was trying to tally the other evening during the credentials report, I didn't get many over 600.
I have not calculated it.
I believe it's 7-something. That figure will, of course, go way up. And what happens is that we use figures that are for ACB that are highly inflated. Of course, we got to try and cull that list to equalize it. But nonetheless, we'll always be maxed out for ACB. Any other comments or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The motion carries. Okay.
Let me just say a couple other things. One is that we're still feeling that we have trouble drawing our members, partly because of the 8 o'clock hour, and partly there was a concern expressed, and it was expressed by Frank Silva, who came to the meeting specifically to express this problem, and also by Mary Beth, who came in to the meeting late because she had been at credentials. And that is, there was the feeling expressed that the credentials process requires that everyone show up at that meeting at 8 o'clock at the same time as our meeting, and they don't understand why. Affiliates that have their dues and their roster and everything in order have to come to that meeting in order to be seated. And I said that I would explore that issue with the chair of the credentials committee and so forth, and we would talk about it some more. But also, it was the sense of the people who are, of the members of the committee who were there, that we might want to try Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, for Constitution and Bylaws Committee instead of the 8 o'clock Friday morning time. Yeah, well, I don't want to, you know, I get to go to publications now, and I'm not a member of the committee, so I don't care. that's basically, that's the sum and substance of the report for the time being. We do intend to have some conference calls and spiff up things a little bit, and maybe, and I'm hoping that some of the other members of the committee will assist me with technological and other kinds of logistics. And that's basically the report. And
thank you, Roger, very, very much.
And thank you.
And I want to take some responsibility. The issue did come up last time, and I failed to move on it in terms of changing your meeting. So we'll definitely look at that this time, because that was supposed to have been dealt with, and we didn't. So I suppose technically we do need to accept the report. So all those in favor of acceptance of the constitutional bylaws report, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Thank you very much. Okay. Mike Keithley, are you here?
And Ken Seven.
Is Mike here?
Yes.
All right. You know, I introduced Mike at the board meeting, but I have not, but I failed to introduce him at the general session. And let me do that now. It was very timely. I want to introduce to you, for those of you who do not know him or who have not been able to meet him this weekend, because he's been around all weekend, our new BC editor, who you will be seeing his first solo issue very shortly. It'll be coming out here as soon as we can get them all mailed out and in the, through the production lines, Mike Keithley. Let's hear it for Mike. Let's go on to the hard-working report of the Resolutions Committee and the chair of the Resolutions Committee, Lucy Greco.
Good morning, everybody. I have to start by saying I'm a little disappointed. Nobody took me up and came and joined us in the resolutions room and helped. What's going on, everybody?
I go to bed every night.
Well, I have to say, even though we have technically one more resolution than we did last spring, which was the last one I presided at, we actually were in bed 2 hours earlier last night than we were last year. So maybe it's a good thing that you didn't show up.
What time was that? I've already been
exhausted. Everybody else left at 2 o'clock, and I was in bed by 3. So, okay, so we have a total of 14 resolutions this year, two of which are being considered later on, and we'll get to those ones when we cover them. But I think I'd like to first thank my committee. I'd like to thank Wynn, Ken, Mitch, Gene, especially Gene. You stayed till the bitter end, and Ken, you stayed till the bitter end too, now that I think about it. And I know there was other people in that room. Who were they?
Dirk.
Dirk was there. Donna was there. Oh, and Ken, Kenneth Frass as well helped immensely. He actually missed 2 trains in a row to stay and help us. So we have to give him credit for really digging in deep and trying hard and basically taking over for Gabe when Gabe got called away on a family emergency. So congratulations to the whole committee. It was a good year, and we've got some really interesting resolutions for you. And I think you're going to be a little surprised when we start, because Gabe wanted to do it differently this year. So he convinced me, and I said, sure, let's go for it. So on that note, I'm going to turn the mic over to Mitch, who is gratefully volunteered for the reading responsibility, because my reading is awful. Mitch.
Good morning. We decided to, or Lucy decided to start with the easy ones first. Sense of accomplishment. We're going to do the two volunteer resolutions off the bat. Resolution 2006A1, volunteer appreciation. Be it further resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 9th day of April 2006 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization express its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to volunteers who... Okay.
I just... Yeah.
We... Okay. We will insert... we will insert the... We were compiling the names of all of the volunteer organizations. We know about the telephone pioneers and such.
And as Jeff said, there was lots of them this year.
Who made this convention possible. But Lucy did not have an opportunity to complete that task. But we will insert all of those names. But this is the resolution thanking our volunteers.
Does it really say further resolved?
There is no further resolved. No, no. No, I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay. I'll believe anything today. It says, be it resolved. Okay, Lucy?
The committee recommended do pass.
And I just want to say, before we vote on this unanimously, I would hope, that we do get certificates, letters out. We do recognize, we try to compile the address of name and address of every volunteer, and we do try to recognize them individually as well as collectively. So, and I think that's very, very important. I know Margie was an advocate of that for years, and now for several years we've made a big effort to do it. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. These are great.
Resolution 2006A2. This is our hotel appreciation resolution. Be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 9th day of April 2006 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization appreciates the services that were provided prior to and during its spring 2006 convention by the staff of the Arden West Hilton Hotel, and be it further resolved that the hotel management be commended for updating all its signage to current accessible signage requirements found in the California Code of Regulations, Title 24, and the Americans with Disabilities Act Accessibility Guidelines. And be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. Lucy?
The committee recommended do pass.
Moved and seconded. Okay, there's discussion.
I just would like to comment that even though the print number on our room says 804, the Braille says 805. And so I think there's a few inaccuracies in their updated signage.
Close.
All right.
Okay.
One reported sign. I bet they'll fix it if we tell them.
All those, any further discussion?
One more.
Okay, Dirk.
I spoke to the manager and asked her what she wanted to be commended for. And she said we added extra security this time. And I think it worked because my remote did not disappear.
Mike, his remote.
People stop.
His remote.
Okay, thank you, Dirk. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Let's move on.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the long ones.
We are on A3, which is renting space by the Department of Rehabilitation.
Okay, and this year I'm going to add who the actual sponsors are of the resolutions, because it was pointed out in the resolution room that sometimes people don't know who it is who actually comes up with the idea. So this one was submitted by Jeff and Gabe.
Yeah. And the
Jeff, Tom, and Gabe Griffith.
Yeah, I gave the summary. The actual title is Rehab Renting Space from Private Entities, and this is A3. Whereas, it is the mission of the Department of Rehabilitation to provide the most effective services possible to enable persons with disabilities, including those who are blind or vision impaired, to maximize their potential. And whereas, the Department has acquired space for rehabilitation counselors for the blind on the premises of the Sacramento Society for the Blind. And whereas, such a practice presents a clear conflict of interest between the department and private agencies and may negatively impact the clients and provide the private entity with an enhanced opportunity to assert undue influence on decisions. Now, therefore, be it resolved, etc., that this organization strongly urge the department to terminate the practice of locating counselors on the premises of private agencies serving clients of the Department of Rehabilitation. And be it further resolved that if the department fails to take this action, the Blind Advisory Committee advocate to change its policy in the manner outlined in this resolution.
And the committee recommended you pass.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there discussion? I would actually like to entertain a friendly amendment.
I think you have to move.
We can't tell the Blind Advisory Committee what to do. We can tell our members of the Blind Advisory, our representatives of the Blind Advisory, what they ought to do. So I would entertain a friendly amendment to say that we instruct our representatives on the Blind Advisory Committee.
We accept that.
That phrase was actually there to begin with, Jeff, and I removed it for verbosity's sake. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Thank you.
Resolution 2006-A4 has to do with glucometer access for blind diabetics.
And again, this one was submitted now by Kenneth Frass.
Whereas, according to the National Institutes of Health, the Center for Disease Control and the American Diabetes Association, more than 13 million Americans suffer from some form of irreversible visual impairment or blindness. And whereas more than 120 million Americans wear corrective glasses or contact lenses because they have difficulty reading small print text. And whereas individuals with diabetes have 25 times greater risk of blindness or visual impairment than the general population. And whereas diabetic retinopathy is the leading cause of vision loss for Americans under the age of 60, accounting for over 12% of new cases of visual impairment each year, equating to over 24,000 new cases of visual impairment each year. And whereas managing capillary blood sugars, CPS, through the use of blood glucometers is the most critical aspect of diabetic care in avoiding ill side effects of diabetes, including renal failure, diabetic retinopathy, and loss of vision. And whereas contemporary blood glucometers are becoming extremely small, affording the fully sighted diabetic great portability and easier blood sugar management. And whereas none of the most current blood glucometers manufactured or sold in the United States have accessibility designed into them, eliminating their use by blind or visually impaired diabetics, and jeopardizing independent medical care by these individuals. And whereas, despite the fact that incorporating speech output technology into these devices has become easily feasible and affordable, none of the manufacturers have incorporated accessibility into these crucial devices. And whereas the principal reason manufacturers have not incorporated accessibility in their products is that to do so would extend the time it takes to bring their products to market. And whereas the only means by which these devices will be made accessible is if all manufacturers are obligated to include speech output technology within their development cycles and thus have equal performance criteria. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, etc., submit this resolution to the American Council of the Blind, ACB, requesting they send copies of this resolution to all manufacturers of retail blood glucose, I was doing okay a minute ago, glucometers, including Johnson & Johnson, LifeScan, Medtronix, Becton Dickinson, and Roche Diagnostics. And be it further resolved that ACB be requested to submit federal legislative language for passage by Congress mandating that manufacturers of blood glucometers be required to provide accessibility in their blood glucometers.
The committee move a due pass?
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second, and Elmer seeks the floor.
Well, for starters, I think it's an excellent resolution, but the question I have is I have many friends who have talking glucometers and glucometers, and I didn't know that there was an accessibility problem, but if there is, it sure ought to be rectified. Thank you.
This was actually covered in the rehab session from Thursday, but what's happening is a lot of the glucometers that do have speech, which there's only two or three, depending on where you're actually looking for the information, are being discontinued. And they're getting smaller and smaller, so they're not even large print. It's also older technology, which is more painful. It's just
slow.
It's...
And bulky.
Bulky, very bulky. You can't carry it with you. It's as easy. It's a pain.
Mr. President?
Pat,
yes.
This is Jerry.
Well, okay, and Pat after you.
Mr. President, I might be incorrect, but I think I am correct that if you check your just a technical change, if you do your research, I think you'll find that glucometer is a trade, it's a copyrighted trade name like Coca-Cola, Xerox, or Seeing Eye Dog. I think the correct title is glucose monitor, but last I checked, glucometer is an actual company name.
Oh.
Okay, we'll make that change. We'll also make the change to correct the name of the Centers for Disease Control to add in prevention. Pat was next.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up, but I also wondered if it would be appropriate to put in there about insulin pumps not being fully accessible either.
Very valid point. Kenneth did not address that in any way, shape, or form. I can't say if he would accept that friendly amendment or not.
Yeah, because I would like to put that in as a friendly amendment. Not here, huh?
Yeah, it's all
okay,
right.
Well, the committee accepts it.
I have no problem with that.
With a vote?
Are there companies to be considered then?
That's why we said
would
including.
Be other companies, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we said including and we didn't exclude it.
Roche also makes a insulin. And MiniMed is the biggest one, but there are even are a couple of other ones. But none of them, although I and other blind diabetics do use them, they are not fully accessible.
Let me just poll the committee to be sure. Mitch, Ken?
Well, the only concern I have is that the resolution speaks to specific issues around glucose monitors. I'm wondering if it would be more than merely adding the word or the words insulin pump, whether it would require us to add additional commentary as well.
Yeah, it's going to need to be a clause or two.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Perhaps it would actually be a better second resolution for fall.
Okay, maybe I'll propose that through the Diabetics in Action Group with ACB.
That's my feeling,
yeah.
I think.
Okay, all right. I'll take away my friend.
I'd be happy to work with you to get that introduced in the summer, Pat, if you need any assistance.
Mitch, yes?
Yes.
All right,
Ken?
I think the only other thing, too, is we're talking about adaptive equipment that currently does exist versus something that should exist. Because we already have glucose monitors that do talk. It's just that the newer ones are faster, they're bulky. But, I mean, it's really addressing something that's already there, but just not keeping up with the times.
Yeah, the difference with the insulin pumps as well is that they are going to require a lot more modification. The glucometers, glucometers, whichever term is actually ends up being the official one. Blood glucose measures. Thank you very much, Roger. The difference between those and the insulin pumps is that the insulin pumps require you to make settings and changes and do different modifying controls, where it's a simple 3-cent chip that could be put into the glucose monitoring devices. And I'm actually awake. It's a single 3-cent chip that can do reporting back is a lot easier technology to implement. I'm not saying that we don't want to have the insulin pumps be accessible. They need to be too, especially since they're more effective. But I think it's a different issue. Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion on this question? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Resolution is adopted.
Okay, I now want to note that Resolution A5 was withdrawn for further research by Gene Lozano. This resolution was dealing with transportation committees, I believe, not understanding what the problems were that are the problems faced by disabled individuals while traveling out on sidewalks and streets, and how these people need to have awareness training and sensitivity training to understand why we're asking for tactile markings and curb cuts and so forth. We wanted a little bit more research and a little bit more information, and it was a very difficult one to withdraw. We all liked the idea and concept, but it was not quite there yet. So A5 was withdrawn for further consideration, and we hope to see that one in the fall. And now we will move on to A6, which I believe is first-timers?
Yes, first-timers.
First-timers, which is a resolution presented by the president of the Silicon Valley chapter, Lupe
Medrano.
And I think this was actually presented as not from the chapter, just from her personally. So I just wanted to, like I said, we're just pointing out who the submitting authors were. Mitch.
Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, wants to increase member involvement at the state level, and by attending state conventions, individuals have more opportunity to do so. And whereas many new members cannot be assisted by their chapters to pay for their attendance at state conventions. And whereas the American Council of the Blind, ACB, CCB's parent organization, provides a Durward K. McDaniel First Timers Scholarship to its national conventions, now therefore be it resolved that the CCB direct its president to form an ad hoc committee to study the feasibility and determine guidelines for a California Council of the Blind First Timers Fund. And be it further resolved that this committee report its findings to the Board of Directors at the fall 2006 meeting of the Board of Directors.
All right. Thank you. I was expecting more.
The committee move a due pass.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Here are the six.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much, and I will so do.
And at this point, I'd like to thank Mitch once again for helping me and doing a great job of reading one of our two most verbose resolutions from this year. The good thing is it didn't need much editing. What's the title on the next
one? The next one is Resolution 2006-A7. That has to do with technical support.
And this resolution was submitted by Tricia Leitz.
Whereas assistive technology has become essential for blind and visually impaired individuals, and whereas two of the largest manufacturers of assistive technology for the blind and visually impaired are Freedom Scientific and Humanware, and whereas although it is understood that these companies must remain profitable, the limited competition in the field imposes a special degree of corporate responsibility on them. And whereas customers have noticed a marked decrease in product quality and reliability, and whereas in recent years customers of Freedom Scientific and Humanware have experienced numerous delays of product repair lasting up to several months, or in some cases are never resolved, and whereas in many instances equipment is returned with parts missing and or in non-working order, and whereas delays of weeks or even days can cause students to receive lower grades or withdraw from classes, and whereas delays can also cause persons who are employed to become less effective or lose their jobs, and whereas the quality of products provided by these companies would be unacceptable to the general public, and whereas the technical support provided by these companies is also extremely inconsistent, and whereas since the state purchases a large percentage of the devices from these companies, the Department of Rehabilitation has an interest in ensuring that these issues are addressed. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge Freedom Scientific and Humanware to immediately address the problems outlined in this resolution, and be it further resolved that this organization request the Department of Rehabilitation to inform clients as part of their informed choice about the issues set forth in this resolution, and be it further resolved that if Freedom Scientific and Humanware do not adequately address the concerns expressed in this resolution, this organization submit a copy of the resolution to the American Council of the Blind at its 2006 annual convention.
The committee move a do pass.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
I have to say, thank you very much. This was the one that took us the longest, so obviously we did a good job since nobody had any questions.
Yes. Yes.
The name of Patricia Leitz is going to appear anywhere on that resolution when it goes anyplace, is it?
No, they never do.
They never do.
It wasn't even in the reading.
No, the only reason I'm doing that, Kathy, is because people have been saying that they have no, you know, they don't know who's presenting these resolutions, and yeah, so we're only doing that here for our sake. It's not going to go to them in any way, shape, or form. It's going to be from the California Council of the Blind. Okay, so we're going to move on now to 8.
Resolution 2006-A8, which is change in Braille.
Submitted by Winifred Downey.
Whereas standard Braille was adopted in the United States in 1932 and has been altered in only minor ways since then, and whereas the code now has no symbols to express equals, plus, minus, fonts, styles, or colors, and whereas since 1932 there has been increased emphasis on science, mathematics, and the new field of computer technology, each supported by separate Braille codes, and whereas while adults now reading Braille have gradually adjusted to whatever additions Braille codes are appropriate to their needs, and whereas this proliferation in codes accounts for the fact that we have three characters for the dollar sign, two different sets of parentheses, some upper and some dropped numbers, and different signs for the period, and whereas textbooks used by today's students, most of whom are mainstreamed, employ fonts, colors, and placement of material on the page that were not envisioned in the early years of Braille, and whereas children entering school now are faced with the necessity of becoming familiar with three codes of Braille at the same time, as well as the increased complexity of materials, now therefore be it resolved that this organization express its support for additions specified in the Nemeth Uniform Braille System, NUBS, and be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2006 National Convention.
The committee move a do pass.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Oh my.
Abstentions? The motion is adopted. Thank you very much. Moving right along. This is a very pliant group today.
And we now move on to A8, which is also submitted by Winifred, which is JAWS Tutorials.
Resolution 2006 A9, JAWS Tutorials and New Features Cassettes. Whereas JAWS is the screen reader used by most blind and visually impaired computer users, and whereas JAWS included cassette tutorial through version 4.0, as well as cassette tutorials with live demonstrations, and whereas JAWS has an increasing number of features that are difficult to learn independently, and whereas by listening to live demonstrations is an easy way to independently learn these features, and whereas the current audio CD provided in the JAWS package is not a satisfactory substitute for the tutorials on cassette, now therefore be it resolved that this organization strongly urge Freedom Scientific to produce cassette tutorials introducing new features, and be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2006 National Convention.
And again, the committee move a do pass.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
Our point of leverage is with DOR, which is buying JAWS for many of us. I think a copy of this resolution should be sent to DOR for the attention of the purchasing manager for the state. The DOR should be putting pressure on Freedom Scientific to produce a product and to claim the product properly.
Okay, I don't think we need an amendment. Dirk, we can take that into consideration.
Actually, I actually want to oppose that, Dirk, because what that would do is give DOR a little bit more leverage in not providing training. I mean, just a technicality. Knowing how hard it is to get training hours out of them, I don't want to give them any kind of fuel.
Okay, so that is not considered a friendly amendment. Then Dirk, if you want to make that as an amendment, you are free to do so and would have to be voted on.
I am not going to withdraw it. And I think that DOR should give training, and I cannot believe that asking better... thing to be trained on is any conflict at all.
Okay, so Dirk has proposed an amendment which would essentially say that a copy of this resolution be sent to the Department of Rehabilitation for its consideration. Is there a second to Dirk's amendment?
Second.
Okay, there's a second to Dirk's amendment. We're discussing now. Okay, so anyone seeking discussion on this amendment? Jerry.
Okay, I understand the spirit of the amendment as articulated by Dirk, but I would oppose it. I think partly for what Lucy says, I think that given the process of purchasing equipment through the department, which is cumbersome at best and impossible at worst, this will just create one more glitch in the system, and it will be very easy or convenient for a counselor to say, well, you know, I'd like to get you this stuff, but now we are hidebound. We got to make sure that Freedom Scientific is going to provide you with this extra tutorial before we get you this stuff. If Freedom holds the process up, then it'll be just a further delay. It's far better for the individual client consumer to deal with the department and to say, look, I need you to provide me with tutorials in whatever format JAWS provides or where Freedom Scientific provides them, or I don't. I can do this on my own, get someone else to teach me. I think to just automatically include this in this resolution is just going to gum up the works.
Okay. Anyone wish to speak in favor of the amendment, since we've had someone in opposition? Okay. Do we have any points in opposition that have not yet been made that someone needs to take the floor? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of the amendment to include a DOR in those to whom this resolution will be sent, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, the amendment is defeated. Rob, you now are the next person
for
discussion.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I was just wondering if we might want to add language. I hope this is a friendly amendment to the effect that until NLS, implements its digital technology, something to that effect. In other words, I think Freedom Scientific has a good idea in many ways, as far as the way they're handling their training. They've adopted the DAISY standards and the DAISY player. It's great for people who are reasonably computer savvy and so forth. And I don't think we want to get to the point where we're discouraging that, but I also agree that the new features and the tutorials until NLS has fully implemented its standards, I think they should continue to be produced on cassette, but that we need to sort of acknowledge that, we are heading toward the digital age.
The other thing, Rob, I think we're looking at in this one is not necessarily the actual material, because the current material, like you said, is there. It's an audio CD. It's a DAISY CD as well. But it's not demonstration. That was, I think, what the critical point for Wynn was. Remember the old days when you'd get the cassette, you'd pop it in, and was it Eric, I believe, or maybe even Ted Hinter himself demonstrating the actual features in use. Well, so people could actually hear what was supposed to happen and actually get a good feel for what was going on. And that's the actual spirit of this. I think the cassette for now is...
Well, I think FS is still producing... when I listen to their DAISY format stuff, it still goes through the new features and how they operate. I think the problem is that what's happening for some people is they don't have, some people don't have a digital, a DAISY player. And so what they're forced to do is they're just forced to try to use their FS reader on the same computer that they're trying to learn JAWS. And that's the difficulty. So it's really a question of, the more that the DAISY players get into circulation, the materials are going to be perfectly acceptable as long as the individuals have the DAISY players and are competent to use them. But, until that day arrives when the majority have the DAISY players, cassettes, they still need to be providing cassettes, perhaps on request. I don't know but this is my only concern.
So Rob has asked that this be considered a friendly amendment. The committee needs to, chair needs to make a determination as to whether...
It's a valid point. I agree with it, absolutely.
Okay.
The question is an addition of a full clause like that doesn't have to be brought back in front of the
the actual group, does it?
No, not if the chair deems it a friendly amendment. I think that
I do.
We'll,
I mean, I do deem it a friendly, and I agree with it 100%.
We'll slip it in.
Well, does the rest? Do I have to ask the rest of my committee first?
No.
Okay.
No, the
just
chair
checking.
Has that problem.
That's all I was going to say anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Mark. And what I wanted to point out is in the current versions or shipping of JAWS, they include an audio tape with discussion on how to use the FS reader on the computer system to kind of get a person familiar with how the technology works. I can agree with everybody here that that may be a little cumbersome for our first-time computer users, and I would tend to agree that audio tapes are really second nature to everybody. We know how to use those, slip them into a tape player, we're ready to go. I would encourage Freedom to do that, but I didn't know if anybody here knew that that tape was also included in the current shipping of JAWS.
The cassette only comes in a new package, not an upgraded package. And that's the real issue at it, is that the new features, people who don't have the savvy to actually figure out how to launch the application don't get that cassette.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Jeff, Mr. President?
Yes.
If anybody needs those tapes or anything like that, please get a hold of me, and I'll try to make sure that that happens for people. And we'll try to get some of that arranged.
Okay, thank you.
Announce his full name.
All right, and what is your name, sir?
Mark.
My name is Mark Schaefer, and I work in the adaptive technology industry as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, I just wanted everybody to know your name so that they'd have it out there.
He works with A.T. Craner.
Yes, down in Southern California.
Yes.
Is where he works. All those now in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. It is passed.
All right, moving right along, we have our next resolution submitted by the California Council of Citizens of Low Vision on swimming pools. Everybody want to get a little wet?
This is resolution 2006-A10, swimming pools. Whereas one of the most significant functional limitations experienced by people with low vision is the lack of stereopsis, which is binocular depth perception, and whereas this combined with the lack of contrast colors or brightness differences makes floor level elevation changes difficult or impossible to detect, and whereas one place where this situation can be further aggravated is swimming pools due to the tendency of water to magnify or distort the appearance of steps, risers, and treads, which is height and depth. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization advocate to amend California Code of Regulations, Title 24, Part 2, Chapters 11A and 11B, to require highly contrasting strips at the noses of steps descending from the decks into the water in public pools and other places where deck transitions by the water, such as deck edges and dividing boards and diving boards. I'm ready to divide here, but diving boards. That's it.
Okay.
The committee moved a do pass.
The committee has moved a do pass. It has been seconded. Any discussion? Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those. Wait a minute. I think I heard discussion out there.
Derek. Can we send a copy to the Swimming Pool Contractors Association?
No.
This has to be a state regulation.
Dirk, I don't think that we need to tell them about it before we go to the state regulators. They'll hear about it eventually.
This is Rob Turner. I just wondered, should it be head of stairs, head of, I don't know if that's better than nose.
The nose is upstairs.
No, nose.
Mr. Chair.
Nose heaven.
Okay, let Gene respond to the prior.
The terminology in the regs is the upper approach and individual and the nosing of stairs. That is the terminology from the Title 24. You also have to have a regulation in place before you can go to contractors to enforce it. So we have to amend first, and that is at least a 2 to 3 year cycle, which we're going to be starting in the 2006 cycle within the next few months.
Sounds right to me. We'll clean it up as we occasionally do.
Well, that's why I was concerned with noses. I didn't know if the pool had a cold, what you'd do, but I.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna. There is a call for the question before this gets out of hand, or before we go to the bottom. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Abstentions. Thank you very much. The resolution is adopted. Next.
Our next resolution is submitted by one of our furthest away members, Ken Stewart from New York. Go for it.
Okay, resolution 2006A11, quiet cars. Whereas alternative fuel vehicles, including hybrids, are silent during deceleration, acceleration, and while idling, and whereas such vehicles, therefore, can move quietly on roads, creating potential danger to pedestrians who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas these pedestrians depend on auditory cues to make safe street crossings, and whereas the membership of the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind have expressed their strong concerns on this subject in past resolutions, now therefore be it resolved that this organization formally urge the American Council of the Blind, ACB, to place the highest priority on pressing for federal action to regulate the operation of these quiet cars in the manner that trucks are required to have sound emission devices when in reverse gear, and to support regulatory legislation and funding of research methods to engineer these vehicles so that they create inaudible detection method. I'm only reading. And be it further resolved that ACB be urged to express to manufacturers of these vehicles the urgency of developing design modifications and enlisting the assistance of the Institute of Traffic Engineers, the Transportation Research Board, and other governmental and non-governmental organizations of traffic engineering professionals in mitigating this safety hazard.
And the committee recommend a do pass, or no, move a do pass.
Yeah, Mr. Pomerantz, would you take the floor on this so I can engage in some debate?
All right. Do we have any discussion on this resolution?
Yes.
Jeff?
Mr. Chair, I'm obviously for this. I've been for it ever since we began this whole process years ago. But I look at this as something that I'm going to have to live with this summer when we go to Jacksonville to introduce it on our behalf. And I'm a little confused, and I get maybe we ought to read it over, but the second resolve that has something about regulatory and funding research legislation, I think it kind of mixes two things, and I'm not really, I want to get clear what it says here and what it means.
Right. Ken, you want to read
it? Yes, I'd like to hear it, and then I can talk about it.
All right. You need this mic? There you go.
Well, only, yeah.
There you go.
That this organization formally urged the American Council of the Blind, ACB, to place the highest priority
on pressing for federal action to regulate the operation of these quiet cars in the manner that trucks are required to have sound emission devices when in reverse gear, and to support regulatory legislation and funding of research methods to engineer these vehicles so that they create an audible detection method.
Okay.
The word that's missing that might make that a little bit more understandable is similarly.
Well, okay, that doesn't help me. I am okay with everything but the word regulatory, because if we're funding research, that's fine. But as I heard Gene say, and as I've always felt, part of the problem is we don't know all the answers yet. And regulatory, in my mind, seems to indicate that the legislation is going to propose what we actually do to solve this, is going to mandate the solutions to this problem, and I don't think we're ready for that yet. So I would move, hope it's a friendly amendment, to delete the word regulatory.
I think the intent was to have first one, then the other.
Well, I don't know what would say yet. I mean, we gotta, you know, if we pass this and then you know, Dave's gonna come up and say, well, what am I supposed to have this legislation do yet? So I would oppose the word regulatory.
So you're saying, Jeff, that we need to clarify that the research has to be done first before we propose any kind of regulations? All right.
Seems to me it would be better before we...
All right. Okay. I'm asking Jeff if that's...
Yes, that's my point.
Lucy, do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
I think that's implicit, so I accept it, yes.
All right. So the friendly amendment is accepted, and regulatory has been stricken, and the microphone and the floor is, or the chair is back to you, Mr. President.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I guess you could call this a friendly amendment or whatever. In the resolution uses the phrase quiet car in a couple of places. How about quiet vehicles? Because in Pasadena, for instance, they use a bus, a minibus called that's made by a company called eBus.
Yeah, no, that I accept that as a friendly amendment.
And you know, when you are standing at a bus stop waiting for a particular bus, especially that one, you can't hear it approach because then all of a sudden it's beyond you.
Your amendment has been accepted.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? Oh, Dirk, okay.
Third time to expand the locus of our influence. I would like to see us give a copy of this resolution to both the chairman and the president of the major manufacturers, certainly including... Ford, GM, Chrysler, Toyota, and Honda.
That's actually in there already, Dirk.
It is not.
Urge the manufacturers is what we said.
But he wants copies of the resolution to go to these people.
Oh, that's a friendly amendment. Well, I can accept that. That's not
fine.
A problem. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize that was the difference.
Yeah. Okay, we can work on that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. The resolution is adopted.
Okay, and I believe we're on our last one.
Two more.
Sorry.
3411.
All right, this one is 3411, and this one has been submitted by Dan Kaiser.
Hey. All right.
Free Willy.
Resolution 2006-A-12, Appreciation Free 411. Whereas blind and visually impaired individuals face numerous accessibility and service challenges in their daily lives, and whereas corporate decisions regarding product services impact blind and visually impaired individuals, and whereas cellular phone companies such as Singular, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon Wireless provide blind and visually impaired customers with access to, quote, free 411, unquote, creating equal access. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization commend Singular, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Altogether, and Verizon Wireless for offering free 411 services to its blind and visually impaired customers, and be it further resolved that this organization forward this resolution to the American Council of the Blind at its 2006 convention, annual convention. I'm sorry.
Left it off. And the committee move a do pass.
Okay, we have a resolution. Your world National delivered yes. is on the floor.
We have it. It just didn't print on this page.
What? Okay.
Just a second.
We have discussion.
We have a correction. Can we have that for the tape? What was the correction you had?
I am a Singular customer, and I don't get free 411. I get charged for it.
You need to go through the accessibility.
You have
department.
To apply with their accessibility department, and they will do it.
But it's not free. It's $15 worth.
No, not for...
We did not say unlimited. In no case did we say unlimited.
No. There's no...
Let it...
Now they'll go above that. They've gone above that for me many
Singular?
Times.
Singular?
Yeah. You can't have it in the accessibility department put a permanent law.
Okay, well, yeah. Well, we need to address these concerns. If do you want to say anything more to the audience about this particular topic?
No.
Okay. All right. I think that the point is that there is a mechanism by which you can get at least a portion of these charges removed. Any more discussion of the resolution? Hearing none.
No, hold on. You got one more.
I'm sorry to be so tendentious about this, but when we're saying alleluia, let us say it to the people who have to hear it. Let us, as a... council sent our thanks to these companies on our own letterhead, and then ACB can do it or not do it as they see fit. But we certainly applaud this proposal. Let us send our copies to those companies.
Okay, thank you. All right, any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted.
By the way, Madam Chair, before we read the last one,
yes.
which, by the way, will be Veterans Homes, just to let you know,
yes.
There is another number you can also call that has free 411. I mean, all you'd pay is air. Pardon?
There's more than one.
Well, yeah, there's several, but I mean, the one I know is 1-800-FREE-411, and it works fairly well. It's been pretty reliable, so I just want you guys to know there are ways to access, you know, phone directories and stuff for us now, which is a lot different than it was a few years ago.
Okay, and our final resolution was submitted by Margie Donovan.
Okay, this is called Veterans Homes. This is A-2006-13. Whereas the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs pays a per diem for each veteran in the California State Veterans Home, and whereas the department expects this per diem to cover all veterans' basic needs, and whereas the California State Home A does not provide information and an accessible format to veterans, B does not provide specialized training in blindness and low vision, C does not train their home staff to provide day-to-day appropriate support to blind and low vision veterans, D does not provide blind and low vision veterans with accessible homes to live in. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization take action to see that these homes, A, provide veterans all print communications and materials in alternate formats such as Braille, large print, audio, and electronic media. B, provide veterans with licensed or certified specialists in blindness and low vision. C, provide home staff such as cafeteria workers with in-service training as to how to work with veterans who are blind or visually impaired. D, provide architecturally accessible homes for veterans to live in. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the director of the California Department of Veterans Affairs and to directors of the homes in California, and be forwarded to the directors of Vision 21 and 22. That's it.
Sorry.
And the committee moved to pass.
No, I had two resolutions stuck
together. Okay, there's a do pass and a second. Is there discussion?
Mr. President?
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Palmer? Yes.
Yeah, we'll... those of us who work in government, we forget about jargon. And I don't know what VISN stands for. I thought it was a misspelling of vision myself when I saw it. So we need to get from Margie what that acronym stands for.
She actually, when I asked her if I should put the actual words down, and she said, no, put it down as VISN.
Wrong.
But essentially,
I was just doing what I was told.
To clarify for all of you, because we all needed the same clarification, the VISN folks are the federal, local offices of the federal regulators for the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and with the issue being that if the state isn't properly assisting these individuals, perhaps it could impact the federal funding that the state gets. Is that a fair synopsis, Mr. Pomerantz?
I mean, I can guess that it stands for Visual Impairment Service Network or something like that.
No, but it's actually Veterans Services. It's basically the regional offices.
Okay, well, we do need to have that stipulated.
Yeah, Kathy?
I'd like to know, is there alternate formats or alternative formats? I always say alternative formats. Am I wrong?
It is alternative formats.
Well, then we ought to say that, okay?
Yes, we should.
Didn't we? What do we have
it
there?
It said alternate.
Alternate format, actually, I think it says. Oh.
We can make that correction, certainly.
We'll do the cosmetic stuff.
Not a problem.
One or the other was alternate.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
Depends on the alternative you want to use, Kathy.
All right.
Maybe even the form.
Any further discussion? The end is near. Hearing none. All those in favor say what? Whoa. Talk.
I hate to be so tendentious. I do believe we should be sending copies of this resolution to every member of the appropriate committees of the House of Representatives.
No, this is definitely not a national affair.
This is a state issue, Dirk, strictly.
Yeah, but Dirk, we will. But Dirk, just to allay your fears on this one, we will be probably sending it to an appropriate state legislator or other to make sure. It is primarily, it has some federal implications because of dollars, but it's primarily a state issue. These are state homes, and so we will certainly be making sure that the appropriate individuals receive copies of this resolution. Okay, all those in favor say aye. Away, I was told that I missed one other person at the floor. We can't keep doing this.
It's just a
a recommendation that when we have resolutions of this type or things of this type that have to do with government agencies, and we have this type of terminology that's not familiar to us lay people, that we have an explanation of what this terminology means, so we don't have to go through this of, well, I don't know exactly, and at least break it down for those of us so that we know in common language what they're going to abbreviate or what they're going to use in the governmental language.
Norma, you're perfectly correct in your assessment, normally we don't have this kind of a term in the resolution, so you're right.
We do our best to try and eliminate as much of that as possible. I worked with Margie on this Thursday evening. She insisted I put the vision down, not the actual lettering, or not the actual wording. But a person is submitting a resolution, they're never wrong. I'm sorry. The problem is people are not showing up to work on their resolutions with us.
Yeah.
And again, I encourage you, you present a resolution. Every person who presented a resolution should be there in the room working with us on your resolutions.
May I comment that I don't disagree with the way it's worded. It's the proper wording for submission. I'm saying that when you come before us, those of us that don't have that kind of knowledge, that you can break it down for those, even those that were there. I mean, that's kind of a very different kind of a term.
And we did,
Norma, those of us who don't have that type of knowledge includes most of the committee and myself as well. But let's move along, and unless there's any further discussion, hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Abstentions. Thank you very much.
I'm going back.
Lucy, is there a motion now to accept? You want to say something before?
The committee formally presents Jeff with the 2006 spring resolution package.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there a motion to accept the report of the resolutions committee?
As amended.
It says heavily amended.
Come on, Scott.
I handed him the papers.
I've heard a motion to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you, Lucy and committee, for a great job. Great job. Okay. Do we have, and we're going to make this a little more formal next year. That's one of the things I'm going to be working on. I think I've got a lot of work to do between conventions. Do we have any committee chairs that would like a few minutes at this point? Good. Okay. Our co-membership chair, that's right, Artis Bazin, may have an award to present, maybe. I don't know.
Yes, last night I didn't have the numbers from Frank because he had lots of information to go through in order for me to present the membership incentive award. And this award is for the affiliate or chapter who has gained the most members from the April of the previous year to this April. And the winner of that award for this year is our new affiliate, the Central Coast Low Vision affiliate. That was 17 members. So, unfortunately, Michelle had to leave already, but we'll make sure that she gets to know that. Well, it was zero last year. It's 17 this year.
Well, I'm...
No, it doesn't.
We'll look at that. Okay. We'll take a look at that and provide a determination post convention. Post convention. I don't want to really discuss this particular point at this particular time because I think we all understand the viewpoints that are there. Is that a fair, Bernice?
That's fair.
Yes.
I have a publication coming.
Yeah, today. Yes. All right, wait a minute, though. Artis, are you done with the membership report?
Yes, that was it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I heard Bernice a little bit ago, too, so I'm going to let Bernice go first and then Jean second.
Okay, from the Publications Committee, in the last several days, I've heard a lot of people say they were going to submit things to the Blind Californian. I've been making the list. Let's make good on all of those promises, please.
Okay, thank you. First, I'd like to speak on behalf of the Committee on Access and Transportation. We have been working on several activities, and I will just touch upon two of them. Our AB 685 legislation, which was passed several years ago, which was product certification bill for detectable warnings. The Division of State Architects have contracted the services Underwriters Laboratory over a year ago to design a process for testing. A committee was convened. I was representing the California Council of the Blind on it. From the professional perspective of low vision and total blindness, we had Jane Vogel from JAC there, who has been a great asset on the committee helping us out. Our committee just had a test site constructed where people were testing the various detectable warnings to get a sense on resiliency and rubber-like or cushiness. We are supposed to hear from the Underwriters Laboratory whether they have gotten an extension on their contract that would bring about another meeting with, at that time, we would have the final results of the testing and provide this testing process to the Division of State Architect. After that, DSA would have to go out for bid for an independent laboratory entity to implement the test protocols. So we are getting there closer to having something in the state of California. Another thing was we, for the last 3 years, have been working on the 2004 code cycle for the Title 24. Various things were submitted. Many of them were referred back for study. One of them was the swimming pool striping requirement. We had a specification for detectable warnings, and that one got into, as you could anticipate, some controversy over what the feds are doing or not doing and how it came with California, and it was sent back for study. What is coming out of it, though, we heard at the California Building Standards Commission meeting, a hearing that Dan Kaiser, Gabe Griffith, and Ann Kaiser and myself attended, is that there's the feeling that there is no need for detectable warnings in the private sector, so that if at shopping malls that you don't need any kind of warning to tell you that you're leaving the sidewalk and entering a parking lot. The thought is that you got some way into that mall on your own or with somebody's assistance, therefore you could do the reverse and not need any kind of warning, which is supposed to be different from out in the street when you encounter an intersection. This is something we're going to have, this and other issues. It really would be helpful for those of you that feel very strongly about these things on detectable warnings and would be interested in being notified when hearings take place and giving testimony, if you could let me know through my email, Lozano, E-L-O-Z-A-N-O-E, at csus.edu. We'll need numbers of you at these hearings. Then I would like to change hats to the convention committee, and just one other thing. The Committee on Access and Transportation made a suggestion, and it has to the fundraising committee to consider after our workshop on emergency preparedness, that maybe that the two committees might want to work together to develop a small preparedness packet, like the light a little flashlight, a whistle, some of the real basic things that we heard that we should have, and that might be something to sell then at the conventions, rather than people having to search to find these items at different stores. That was a thought, and maybe we could look into getting the logo of the CCB on some of these devices. So that was a thought. The convention committee, we hope that you were pleased with the how this convention went on. Any input that you could provide the convention committee and staff, as well as President Tom, for our fall convention would be very much appreciated, particularly topics that you would like to be presented to future conventions. We really would like your input as items that relate to blindness, but also as citizens of the state of California. So please let us know. And I want to thank everyone for their assistance in putting this convention together. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah, this has been a great agenda, and all for all of you that had a part in it, and especially Gene, I want to express my appreciation to that. Before I go on to any other committees, I want to go back to the beginning of the day, the people that I missed. First, at least I don't believe I mentioned them, to a couple tireless workers who just stay in the background most of the time, and we only notice them when something screws up. Rick Acacian and Paul Merrill. It's good to have Paul back with us. Thank you for all of your hard work. As some of us know, in some ways, the more technology advances, the more difficulties seem to arise. So it is not an easy job that those two have, and we're glad to have them both with us. And I think that we're also going to be using someone, just to let you know, I don't know if she's here today, but she has been here. Someone to edit our materials, because it takes just so much time afterwards, so that we can get our tapes out, so we can get it archived on the net through an MP3 file. We're going to use a member of my chapter, Joy Tilton, who is going to work for us and do that. So hopefully within a very reasonable amount of time, we can get tapes out to those who want them. You can listen to it over the internet. And so we're working, we're trying to do a better job. I just want to address one other little item, and that is, I know there's a lot of folks, believe me, I've heard it from Chris, and I've heard it from Gray, and I've heard it from other members, there's a lot of interest in getting our general sessions and the banquet back online, and I totally concur with that. Yeah, and that's right, and I hear it. We have had some, technical and financial concerns that we have to deal with. That's going to be an ongoing subject for discussion. I do tell you one thing, the more people we hear from, it's just like any other elected official, I suppose, the more of a groundswell I get, the more likely I am to say, forget these technical problems and forget the software we got to buy. We need to do this. But we need to work, these have presented some problems in the past, some issues at connectivity and getting things done. So I'm just alerting you to, or letting you know, that I have not forgotten these issues, and we have had several discussions about them over the past few months. And finally, as I thanked, hopefully I thanked everybody else, but as I said, Ed Branch was not here this morning. He was out at the airport doing something for us. And so, I want to thank him, as always, for his tireless work. Whenever I call him, hey, oh, Ed, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's like, oh, man. So, he's probably going to go back and watch a basketball game and sleep for a day or two. He and Marilyn are both just inexhaustible.
Go Pacers. So,
they'd been better with our test, though. Okay, so any other committee reports?
I have a question, Mr. President.
Yes.
Is
John Bayview, I didn't say last night that thank you for the $500, but Bayview had purchased $100 worth and sold $100 worth. The president and family did another $160 worth. They're all Bayview members, so we got almost some money back for Bayview. Anyway, on governmental affairs, I just want to say one thing that I would like everyone in this room to do, and I'm sorry that there's so few of us left. We absolutely have to contact Senators Feinstein and Boxer and tell them that we want the money that's collected. We do like the Louis Braille coin, Louis Braille, but we do want the money that's coming in to be in some vehicle so that people can, who do work on Braille literacy, can have access to some of the money raised from it, and there, so that all of it, as the bill directs in its last paragraph, doesn't go to the National Federation of the Blind or any one organization. It's there are a lot of us who are interested in Braille literacy, and a lot of us were doing it long before we heard of the National Federation or any other of the major organizations. But in any case, please do call. Try to do that Monday or Tuesday at the latest. We understand that Barbara Boxer is looking favorably on it. Diane Feinstein hasn't made up her mind. Let's help change Barbara's mind and make up Diane's for him. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Yes, we need to give it a shot. We, you know, we yes, when? We'll get it to you.
I have asked this repeatedly. Does anyone have the address, that the email address that Chris gave the other night for Olivia Rodriguez? And I missed the part after the at, and I have asked everybody, does anyone have it?
At feinstein.senate.gov.
Okay, that's what we wanted, if that was it. And I'm sure there must be an underscore between Olivia and Rodriguez,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Olivia is O-L-Y.
Okay. That was going to be one of my very next points, but it's a good thing that you said. Ed and Marilyn, when do you want to start collecting badges? Want to do that this instant? Okay, right now. Any other committee reports? Yes, Bonnie? I don't think I've seen Bonnie all weekend. I know she has. I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just saying I haven't.
She's doing the convention report.
Okay. Just a word about seniors with vision loss and a plug for them. I want to mention briefly one thing our committee did. We followed up on something that Jeff and Dan brought up to us last year regarding the very exciting and juicy topic of mental illness and Proposition 63. What we learned out of our meeting yesterday was that although it may not be a very exciting topic to many, there are some opportunities for us to influence trainers and on the local level where funds are actually disseminated and programs are done. If anyone happens to have an interest in that, I strongly urge you to request the tape from the program yesterday. And secondly, my plug, we really could use a little more involvement. Perhaps we're not offering all of the most interesting programs for people either, but how do we know what's relevant to you unless you tell us? So my plea is, please contact me, Bonnie Rennie. My info is in the BC for how to contact me in any format. And also in your program, the other committee members are listed. And if you know one of those folks, please contact them. Last year we did a little bit of work on senior centers and how to better integrate them, what works, what doesn't work, any issues, and also educating senior centers on our capabilities and our needs, as well as other seniors who attend. And that was pretty good, but we didn't have a lot of involvement in that. If there's something that you care about that you think we should pursue, whether it's a convention program or some other issue that is realistic for us to take up,
please contact us and please get involved. We need interest and we need help. Otherwise, nothing will happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, if it's senior committee related?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the advocacy committee?
Well, no, wait. We're going to let, we'll get to you in a minute. We've got a couple things to do first.
It's long overdue, and due to some technical difficulties, we weren't able to accomplish this. I wanted to have it done for this convention, but when we get Roger's computer back on Monday, hopefully, we will be sending to the printer the Spanish version of Failing Sight and the Family Plight, and it should be like 2 weeks before they're back in the CCB office for distribution.
That's great. We will make sure that we work on the distribution of that document. We need to do more distribution of all of our documents. Okay, Jane, the floor is yours. And Kathy, I'll get to you.
I'm going to take up on what Bernice suggested, and I think I'll do an article for the BC about our advocacy committee. We do have our really high moments when we feel like we're getting somewhere, and then we crash too. We have the same things, but we are here for everyone. Anybody who might have a legal problem and feels like the advocacy committee could help and support in some way, we have a conference call and get together as a committee and make that decision about giving money for legal support. So thank you. That's all I have to say now.
Thank you, Jane. And as although Jane didn't point it out, we just voted to support and are supporting an employment discrimination case in the Bay Area. So Jane's committee is definitely at work and doing things.
Mr. President.
I think Kathy wanted the floor. Are you still?
I have an observation and a comment. First, my observation is, as one old-time president to you, did you notice what happens in the resolutions when it's going smoothly and you all of a sudden say it's going very smoothly? Did you notice what happened? It didn't get smooth. And the other comment I have to make is I think when we're passing out thank yous for things that we want to pass out one to you for all the good work you've been doing and the hard work you do. And you do a good job.
Thank you very much. And I always call upon Kathy when I need some kind of advice. And she usually gives it, too. That's right. Sometimes whether I need it or not. Ken Metz.
Just a little bit about public relations as a committee report. And that actually goes along with a little bit with Jane and Bernice. Excuse me. These hours are getting to me, finally. One of the things we spoke about yesterday, and we will be writing something for the BC, and also finally we will be submitting a report, as we're supposed to do. But we also thought that we need to get out more to some of the community activities, especially for some of the things that won't cost us to have a table, or even if it's maybe a $20, $30 type of item, either, you know, maybe our local CCB chapter could handle that, but we need to start getting brochures out in Spanish and in English to people at these who attend these various fairs. We're finding that all sorts of agencies are out there, and amongst all these folks have to be a number of blind or visually impaired people. And we need to get the information to them. So we're really going to make a drive for folks, especially in the metropolitan areas, to go and attend as many of these fairs as possible to disseminate our information.
The brochure is in the hopper and will be followed closely behind the inside.
Thank you.
And, of course, the video is... Oh, I'm sorry, Bernice. Okay, and of course the video is now done. We had to reformat it a little bit. It's now done. We'll get it out. If we haven't, we'll get it out to all the presidents and to the members that went to the Speaker's Bureau breakfast. We'll get it to them so that they can have copies.
Right, and then we will have a conference call to finally get it. We have it organized, but we want to finally get it started, and we'll commence our Speaker's Bureau again throughout the state. And that will also open a lot of opportunities for us to have speaking engagements and to attend these various facilities for their fairs.
Could you please
of the connection.
Oh, boy, what a thankless task that is.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you. And we should thank our others as well. Ann and Gabe, for Gabe, who's obviously not here, and Ann Kaiser, who's out there somewhere, for the work they do on putting the connection, you know, together and in English. So, okay, any other committee chairs? Hearing none, old business? Any old business? Any new business? So, Elmer is going to get the
floor. Would the chair entertain some levity?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, it seems that these two Eskimos are out in their kayak and it got pretty cold, and so one of them decided he'd build a fire in it and it burned a hole in the bottom of it, the bottom of the kayak. So they had to swim ashore. And when they got on the shore, one of them said, "You know, it's just like Mom always said: you can't have your kayak and heat it too."
Oh, boy. I believe Elmer is really wearing Al Gill's clothes.
Hang on,
today.
I got the mic over here.
Okay. Yeah, who's the influence?
I've got the mic over here. My name is Elsa McCoy, and this is my third convention or conference. What I have is a... two things. I want to commend whoever set up this room, because I noticed that the accessibility to get to a chair was a lot easier than normal. And the other thing is, I have a suggestion, because yesterday the room that we were in and the way it was set up was very difficult to maneuver, and I think that in the future it might be a good idea to take a little bit more consideration in the way the room is set up, so that there's room for the wheelchairs and for those of us that have our dogs. Because once you set up all these aisles and people get into the first one or two seats with their dogs, you cannot get through. And
So we understand that. We were trying to get volunteers to help force people to go to the middle. It really, part of the problem is that if people would, you know, show a little more consideration and not take those chairs, it would make it easier. You're absolutely right.
Well, the thing is, too, that these chairs are so close together, and not all of us are on the thin side, you know, myself included, so it tends to be a little bit close. Thank you.
We will certainly do our best, and we'll take that in mind, because your observations are correct. Okay. Anyone else seeing the floor? Okay. This has been a great convention, do you think? Yeah, the spring 2006 for the convention of the California Council of Blind is, if someone moves, then second, all those in favor? Opposed? We're adjourned.